Thanks for joining me. If you have a need or an intention and you need some extra prayer, feel free to dial in. The number is 888-914-9149. That is 888-914-9149. I'll take as many calls as I possibly can during the chaplet. And of course, I know things are difficult. You know, they're tough. We all go through these storms in our life. And I want to pray for you. I want to help you. I want to be there for you. I was reading some emails last night, and one of them came from a woman here. I got to keep her anonymous. But she says, could you please pray for my daughter who's been falsely accused of sexual misconduct? Man, this is a woman. Can you pray for my daughter who's been falsely accused of sexual misconduct with minors and me, and has been placed on leave from her job? Drew, I'm praying for the truth to come out and that she may return to her job. There are false accusations, you know, that's a big one. And I know it seems like an impossible request, but we'll certainly do that. Another person wrote and said, look, I've been listening for a few years now. This is the first time I'm sending in my attention. Can you ask your listeners to please pray for the repose of the soul of my son and mother? My son died 8 years ago after falling asleep at the wheel and getting into a car accident. And my mother passed away just before Christmas. My mother's vigil and funeral mass is coming up. It's today, March the 29th and 30th. So please pray for my family, especially for my father, who is struggling over the loss of my mother. He's suffering from severe insomnia, depression, and grief. And please pray that my daughter returns to the church. She renounced the Catholic faith last year and is with somebody who I believe is a great influence on her. I just ask for prayers for him as well and for the conversion of heart. This person comes back to the faith. We are praying for you. We're going to pray for these situations. God will not mismanage your life. And I know sometimes we wonder why God lets this happen, right? Why would God allow my child to have this happen? Why would you take this person from me? Why are my finances going wrong? You know, maybe the car, you're just about paying it off and now it needs a major repair, right? Maybe you've lost that relationship. Somebody walked away from you, right? Maybe your company had to downsize and they don't need you anymore and you were loyal, you know? You wonder, why would God allow that? That's because God has a better car for you. He's got a better job for you, right? He's got a deeper, more rich relationship waiting for you. God never disappoints. He always has something better. And God's in charge. He can see things you can't see. And I just want you to know that today. When we pray this chaplet, so often we're in a situation where we're depressed, we're anxious, we can't see a way out. We don't think God hears our prayers. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how this is going to end. And I know you feel sometimes God's taking you in the wrong direction, down the wrong lane, right? I'm telling you, God is control. He's in control, and he's going to work it out for the best. Your storm will pass, and God's going to cause you to overcome. Whatever the situation that you're facing right now, you're going to defeat that giant that's in your life. You're going to remove that boulder. You will be able to see the dream that you have come to fruition. And that's what I want to pray for now. I want to pray that you can get through the storm. All right, and that you can see the fruit of your prayer, that you can see the blessing that God has in store for you right now. And that's the beauty of this chaplet. And we get lots of answered prayers here every single day. And I am so grateful for those of you that write to us. And a person wrote to me saying, hey, look, I've been praying, and this is a prayer of thanksgiving. I've been praying to St. Rita, to St. Jude, prayed the chaplet for my daughter Stephanie to find an affordable house. My petition was heard. Thanks be to God. She closes today at 3 p.m. The hour of divine mercy. I like that. No coincidence with God, right? No coincidence. Another person wrote and says, look, I've called a few times asking for prayers while I've been struggling looking for a new job. My current job situation has been going from bad to worse due to this economy. Well, today I was offered a new position, and it will allow me to make a wage and the possibility of commission as well. I just want to add this petition. I'd like to add this to your list of prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you for all you do in bringing the chaplet to our nation. Well, congratulations on your job. One final one, and then we'll pray. How about this one? Dustin from California said, a couple months ago, you along with everyone else I could get prayed for my sister who was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Well, prayer worked. Recently, her doctor informed her that the cancer is shrinking, and at the rate it is shrinking, she may be cancer-free. I just want to thank God and thank everyone for praying. Well, we're all family, right? I pray for you like I pray for my wife or my children. And I ask you to do the same thing for me. And this is the fruit of our prayer. We come together every day around the country and around the world, and miracles happen because God is in control. You know, you're in a storm now. You're going through difficulty. As I said, God sees the big picture. Let's thank God right now. We will pray in thanksgiving, and we will pray in petition. My producer, Maggie, who's on the board with me, is going to pray. She'll take your intentions that are on Twitter and bring them to everyone's prayer attention on the third decade. You can give those intentions to her at Drew Mariani Show. That's our Twitter handle, at Drew Mariani Show. Follow me at Drew Mariani as well. And Maggie, how's your mom and dad doing?
Oh, they've got a little more energy today. I talked to them this morning. They sounded better. So thank you for those prayers. I did receive a text yesterday during the chaplet, and I'm going to keep this a little vague, but Isaac really needs our prayers. He's been battling depression for a long time, and I just pray that he can see the light at the end of the tunnel and can see some of the blessings that God has in store for him and around him. And then likewise, Cindy also sent me a message. She needs prayers. I think she's second-guessing some of her life. So wow. I pray that she would know she's a beloved daughter of God and that he doesn't make mistakes.
Amen to that. I love it. All right, Maggie, thank you. Let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. Comes from Judy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Judy.
Oh, hi there, Drew. We had an Easter miracle occur last weekend. I sent you an email, and I mentioned how my daughter was 33 weeks pregnant, and she was bleeding profusely while waiting for the ambulance to arrive.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, well, guess what? She is fine. She's released from the hospital. Praise be to God.
Praise God.
And little
That's
baby Harlow is off her oxygen, and she'll be in the hospital another 3 weeks. But
wow,
what a miracle. So thank you, listeners. Oh. Thank you. And I didn't have much hope, but just held my daughter tight, and I kept saying, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And God listens. And this past weekend, one of the doctors who has never seen my daughter before was doing the rounds in the NICU, and she read her chart and she said, it looks like you were surrounded by angels when you arrived at the hospital.
Wow. Praise God. I remember your email. I remember the crisis. I remember the situation very much. And Judy, first of all, let's rejoice together. Let's pray in thanksgiving. I'm so glad you called back. to share that with me and to share that with everyone else, because we all prayed. And I know God's got a great mission in your family's life, in your daughter's life, and that beautiful baby. So let's pray right now. We'll give God thanks. And thank you for those beautiful and inspiring testimonies. Lord, I thank you right now for Judy. I thank you for her faith. I thank you for this critical moment of crisis where we came together and you showed us the power of this prayer, and it prevailed. Your mercy reigned. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I ask you to build the faith of those weak in faith right now. I ask you to bless and heal those who are in critical situations right now, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. And I bring you those souls as well as pray and thanksgiving as I turn to you now, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Saco, Maine next. Richard is listening to us there. Hi, Richard.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have to pray for a friend of mine, Elizabeth, who passed away last week, for the repose of her soul.
Okay.
And all the souls in purgatory. And for her husband, Paul, who was devastated. For all those who were grieving, that the Lord give them comfort and peace in a time of grief.
Amen. Richard, thank you. I want to pray for you, too. I know you didn't voice anything personally, but Lord, I do pray for those who are suffering, those who are mourning, those who are times of great difficulty. And so grateful for your prayer for the souls in purgatory. Quite often, you know, they're often forgotten and overlooked. But Lord, I give you every intention that Richard just voiced. And I pray for those who've gone before us, and pray for the hour of our own death. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Next call. Oh, Maggie, up next. I was about to go to the third call. Marianne in Alabama. Hang out. I'll be right with you. Let me go to Maggie on our Twitter page. She's been taking those attentions for you. And again, at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie, what's coming in?
Well, we have a prayer request here in-house for healing for Father Andrew Luzak, who's been giving some of our, who's been celebrating Mass here throughout the weeks during Lent. And he's in some pain, so I want to lift him up. We had an off-air caller here that Nick took an attention. This person wants to pray for their son, Paul, who's in the hospital recovering from drugs and alcohol.
Wow.
It's the fifth time in the last 2 months. Wow. Want to lift up anyone who's struggling with addiction. Eileen wrote to us on Twitter and said, please pray for my husband, Bill, who has been in kidney failure. The future has so many unknowns, and he's not dealing well with it right now. Also, please bless our son, Patrick, who continues to be such a godsend.
Oh.
I pray God bless him abundantly. Rita wrote to us and said, please pray that my son did well today in today's interview. He's been trying to find employment. He really needs this for his self-confidence.
Mm.
And Carolyn wrote to us and said, please pray all goes well for my daughter, Ariel. She's having a myomectomy on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Let's lift those up. I want to add my son, too, to that prayer for work. My son is looking for a job right now as well. So for all those who are looking for employment, especially, I ask God's mercy. Pray for our children. Pray for all those intentions, those upcoming surgeries, everything that Maggie just voiced. And we'll add Mary Ann to the mix. She's been waiting in Alabama to join us. Hi, Mary Ann. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. You've taken them before. For my son and daughter-in-law traveling across the country transporting cars in the Midwest for the next 3 weeks.
Wow.
And that they also stop smoking because they're both trying to stop really, really, you know, hard.
Yeah.
And then Thanksgiving, because you prayed for my son to get a good job, Relevant Family did, and he got a great job at the transporting. He's very happy.
That's so great.
Then my granddaughter, yes, and I'll pray for your son.
Yes.
My granddaughter Ashley, who you prayed for before, she ran away. You guys prayed. We found her. She got pregnant. She had the baby. We're just in love with the baby.
Aww.
The day after she started RCIA. She went to get her GED. Day after she turned 18, she left. She took the baby and went back to Arizona. So we're heartbroken, but we're praying for her conversion and that she picks up the RCIA and gets baptized and for a happy ending. So
yeah,
thank you very much for all your prayers.
We'll keep praying for your family, Marianne. That's got to be hard. How old's the baby now?
5 months. She's adorable little Mia. Yeah.
Well, I know. That's the dagger in the heart, isn't it? I mean, your daughter not only has left, but she took that little beautiful baby who I know you love so much. Well, let's pray for her conversion, her continued healing. Let's pray for those that have addictions, whether it's to nicotine or to alcohol or to drugs or to sex or whatever it may be. Lord, I just ask for freedom. But I give you every one of Mary Ann's intentions. She loves you and she believes in you and she's coming asking for the intercession of our family here. So I ask you to hear her prayers and the prayers, the echoes of everyone's heart here. Lord, so many people crying out to you now with similar situations for their family, for their loved ones, for their finances, for the needs that they have. May today be a day of abundant mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Bethany, praying in Southern Maine. Hi, Bethany. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
I'm calling today to pray for a man. I'll keep his name anonymous, but he's in the final hours or days of his life. I'm thinking it's more like hours from what I have heard from people who are close with me. I just want to pray for a holy death for him and that when he meets our Lord, he will be a merciful Savior. And I just want to pray for peace and consolation for his family.
What a beautiful prayer.
And just one more intention.
Sure.
Also, sorry for my nephew and godson. Rhett, he broke his wrist this past Saturday, and I just want to pray that everything heals well and quickly for him.
Yeah, it's painful. I've done that, so I know what it's like. All right, we'll pray for him and for total healing for anyone with orthopedic problems. Lord, I bring them to you now, too. But, you know, this is such a beautiful prayer for death. St. Faustina prayed it over and over again. I share it all the time. There's a diary entry at 687 where Faustina says, she writes, whoever will recite this prayer will have great mercy at the hour of death. It's as simple as that. And I know the promise is the same. There's other diary entries where the Lord says that holds true for those who prayed for others. But I believe in this final moment, these final hours, that mercy is all we have. And all of us are undeserving. But God's mercy is unfathomable. It's the astonishment of the angels and the wonder of the saints. So, Lord, I give you this man's soul right now. I ask you to reach him in a special way so one day we may be united with him. In eternity. I pray for those approaching death, those who've gone before us, and again for the hour of our own death. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
You know, I also want to pray for marriages today. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. If you're in a troubled marriage, or if you're discerning that vocation, maybe you're thinking your marriage is over, I really want to pray for you as well. But let's go to Jessica right now. She is in Santa Clara, California. I'll see if I can't grab a few extra calls. Jessica, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew, and thank you for taking my call. I'm asking for a miracle and begging all the prayer warriors to pray for my daughter who's battling addiction of substances and alcohol, from substances and alcohol, and it's affecting me so much. I fear that I'm gonna lose hope, but I need to stay. I need to stay strong because I know God is with me. And we just went through a separation from her dad, and who's also battling addiction, and it's been very hard. So. Please pray for strength for me.
Jessica, I will. And I want you to have hope, okay? I really want you to have hope. I believe so much in the power of this prayer. And I can speak to you personally because I've seen addiction in my own family. I've had a father. I've had relatives and friends that have battled addiction. I've seen healing. I've seen the power of this prayer. And how much you love your daughter. There was I think it was a 6th century abbot. His name was Father Stephen, Saint Stephen of Rieti. And he once said, he says, trusting God means believing in his care, even when evil seems to have the upper hand, right? And that's how evil often seems, like a giant. Like this addiction can never be broken. It's going to destroy my daughter. Nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to work at all. But I'll tell you what, your prayer will defeat that giant. You know, your trust is that stone in the sling, you know, which will bring that giant down. And we're going to pray for you. You know, the greater and the more persistence your confidence in God, the more abundantly you're going to receive. Maggie, you were just saying to me yesterday's psalm. You want to share that with her?
Yesterday's psalm, I can't remember the number of it, yeah. But it's the famous psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow.
Psalm 23?
That's it, yeah. I will fear no evil, for he is with me.
I love that. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Beautiful verse. Meditate on that. Let's take another call. We'll take Raphael too, and we'll pray for your daughter as well. Raphael, good afternoon. Thanks for calling from California, I should say. Hey.
Good afternoon. So my prayer intention is we're wanting to sell our home and buy another one. We're kind of expanding, and we're stressing out over it. And, you know, we haven't really sat down to pray, so I figured, you know what, I'd call and
Amen.
You know, have you guys help out and see where, you know, God and St. Joseph can intercede and see if God wants us to leave this place and move on forward or stay here.
I love it. Well, let's do that. Let's pray. And we'll pray for discernment for you. And Lord, I just ask that his mind is clear on the decision he makes. His heart is especially settled. And I just ask through the intercession of St. Joseph, St. Faustina, and all the saints that the right doors open for you, and that that home sell, and you get the maximum value for it, Lord. And I just pray against any stress. I mean, this could be a very stressful situation, and I pray for peace for you, Raphael. And I want to give you Gina and Helen and Eddie and Jessica and Maria and Judy and Nancy and Debbie and Marina and everybody on hold. Yolanda, Lord, I give you all these people who want to get through. I know you know their prayers. I know you know their hearts. I know you know them intimately. Unite their prayers to all who are now crying out to you. And I thank you because I know you're at work. And I thank you because I know you hear me. I know you always hear me. And I just ask that your mercy, the floodgates of your mercy open now and just reach these souls. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for praying. I really am honored to pray with you. Please send me your answered prayers. How do you do that? Simple email, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Email to me, mark@answeredprayer.com or praise report or however you want to put it, just so I make sure I see it and flag it. And of course, send us your intentions. You can also do that to Maggie at Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter handle there. When we come back, I do. Speaking of the dead, I want to pray for respect for the dead. In particular, there's a big debate going on. It deals with Catholic teaching as well. The church in the U.S. has said no now to two alternatives to burial. I'll tell you what they are when I return. Hey, today we'd like to thank Julia, who's listening in Kentucky, for donating her Ford. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining me. It is great to be with you today. If you missed any of our conversation today, too, don't forget our podcast. Just go to relevantradio.com. You can download them there where podcasts are listened to. Maybe it's Apple or Spotify or wherever you might be. iTunes. We got a lot to get into today. One of the things, it's not the most exciting, I guess, topic to talk about. I do think it's important. Death and burial, right? Taking care of the remains of those who have died. It's one of the great corporal works of mercy, and the church has always taught that we have to respect those mortal remains. I remember, did you ever see the body exhibit? You know what I'm talking about, Maggie? Have you seen the... Have you gone to that? You did go to that.
I have been to that. I've actually been.
Is it called the body exhibit? What's that called?
I think it was just called Bodies.
Bodies, where they plasticize the dead and show the muscles or the heart or
you see the different layers. There's like bones and then the sinews of the muscles and how everything.
How was that?
It was interesting. It was kind of fascinating in like a creepy, morbid kind of way. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, yeah, we've talked about that in the past. Is it good to do that to the human body or not? I mean, how should the dead be treated? You know, science is one thing, and you know, learning about the anatomy is one thing, but should they be put on display and profited off of like that? Lot to get into. And what do you do with the remains? You know, I've had lunch with one woman recently, and a very gracious, very dignified and gracious woman. Her husband had passed away, and she had him with her for about 17 years. She had her ashes in her home. You know, a lot of people say, I can't let my loved one go. I want them close to me. But what are we called to do? How do we respect the the mortal remains. And you and I are made in the image and likeness of God. I don't think we think about that enough. You know, Catholic anthropology is that we are one person, right? But we're made up of both body and soul. And I don't think we think about that enough. It's that totality that is made in the image and likeness of God. And as St. Paul taught, you know, for Christians, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why I think about that when I have to work out. I'm like, man, I got to keep the body clean. Got to keep it healthy, right? How many of us don't do that? We pollute the body, right? It is the temple of God. And, you know, what are you bringing into the body with your eyes, right? What are you bringing into the body in other ways? Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't contemplate the body that often. So when I see these articles and documents coming from these USCCB, I thought it's good to talk about. So back to the dead for just a moment, caring for the remains of the dead. It's an important part of our faith, and that's why you got places. I don't know, Maggie, you're going to Rome too. You got to check out the catacombs. Are you guys going to the catacombs, you and Joseph?
I don't think we have official plans.
You've got some downtime.
Okay.
It's such a cool experience. It is to go deep into these catacombs to see where so many of the faithful had mass, where they hid, where they were martyred. It's pretty amazing. And there's actually some bones in some of the ones I went through. You can still see them. There's also a place in Rome. Father Paholczyk will probably know it better than me. He's going to be joining me in a minute. There's a place where the walls are lined with human bones.
Oh, gosh.
A bunch of Franciscans. Oh, you should do a sermon. I shouldn't. Nick, is he on our phones?
He is.
Nick knows. He lived in Italy.
He's grimacing.
Does he know about it? He probably hates it. There's a place where
he knows about it.
Nick, send over the name of this place. He's been there. I've been there once. And it reminds us of our mortality. I mean, these bunks or friars, or I don't know who they were. I forget the exact name of it. Something you should see because it's a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing to see. There's bones everywhere. The walls are lined with them, the tables. It's kind of macabre, to be honest with you. It's called La Cripta dei Frati Cappuccini. So there you go. The crypt of the Capuchin friars. So you can check that out. Do a Google search, Mag. Check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. But I diverge too much. I mean, I'm here to talk about, you know, the remains. We got to care for the dead. I think we have to remember the dead. We have to remember our body. So when you go to the place like the catacombs, I was telling Maggie about, you're going to see where a lot of the early martyrs were buried. And, of course, we get this from the Jews who buried their dead, unlike the pagans around them who quite often burned them. You know, you have these funeral pyres. But that's why for centuries, the church allowed cremation. At first, it was a counter to the pagan cultures that the church, you know, first grew up in. Centuries later, although, as the Enlightenment started to contradict some of the church's teachings because of scientific discoveries, the church kept that teaching because there were people who got cremated because they wanted to prove that the dead weren't going to rise again. But cremation today, and it was banned by the church for a while, it's now acceptable. It's accepted by the church so long as it does not defy the doctrine of the final resurrection of the dead. You know, as long as the cremains are handled properly, they're not scattered in the sea or in a river or put on your mantle or next to your bed, you have to treat them with respect, put them in sacred, hallowed ground. There are some new methods right now. This is what we're going to talk to Father Paholczyk about. Dealing with human remains. One of those is human composting. We talked about that in the past. Recently became legalized in, I think it was 6 different states. The other is called alkaline hydrolysis, and it basically turns the body into a liquid. That liquid's then dumped down the drain. And the USCCB, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they issued a document last week saying, I don't think so, not so fast, saying neither one of those two methods is approved you know, for use by Catholics. So, Maggie, are you seeing the photos right now? Are you taking a look at it? Is that why you're grimacing?
Yeah, there's walls of skulls.
Walls of skulls, right? Yeah, and of bones. It's pretty wild. Yeah, it's wild. It makes you think about death. It makes you think about burial. It makes you think about the prayer for the dead. And I've invited Father Paholczyk to join me today to give us some perspective on what the church teaches, how it has changed maybe over the centuries, and how we best should deal with the remains of our loved ones. Father, thank you for joining us. Good to have you back.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Drew. I was thinking a little bit about the Franciscan church that you're talking about with all the bones and the skulls. I remember when I visited it many years ago, there was like a little sign that was stuck right in the middle of the exhibit, and it said, "What you are
Yes.
We once were.
Yes.
What we are, you will be. Yeah. And I thought, you know, that's a good meditation on death. And I think that's why the Franciscans have set up that whole rather unusual, kind of edgy exhibit.
It is edgy. Maggie's getting married, Father, in May. So she's going to spend 2 weeks on her honeymoon there. Nick, who's on our call screen, he's getting married in May, too. He's going late May. He's going back there. I'm on a pilgrimage there in September. So it's going to be a great experience. But, I, you know, makes you think. I mean, it's kind of macabre in some respects. But you go down to the catacombs, too. You kind of get that feeling. Take us through time for a little bit. Where was the church, the early church, in the time of Christ with burial? And when did it change? And where are we right now? Maybe walk us through some of it, because I know cremation was banned for a little while. Now it's accepted. Now we're getting these green ways of being disposed of. Maybe a little theology, what the church teaches and what the best approaches are.
Well, I think you started to summarize them pretty well, in the sense that the church has always recognized the need to respect the remains of the dead. And that's really always the point of discussion. So when you're talking about cremains, are you going to show reverence for those remains? And, you know, Drew, there's a very simple kind of a test that I encourage people to do, to think about. And the test goes like this. Would you do what you are now doing with the cremains if you had a whole body in front of you? In other words, would you leave a whole body in your living room in front of the fireplace the way that some people do by putting the cremains up on the mantle? Wow. And most people would immediately say, no, I wouldn't do that, et cetera. I think that's a very, you know, simple way to say, are you in fact treating the cremains that you have in the same fashion that you would treat a whole corpse? And if not, why not? And we need to be thinking about what we really do mean by respecting the remains of the dead.
So that brings me to the other part of the conversation I have with Maggie. I've never seen Body Worlds. I remember maybe a decade ago that was pretty popular. I remember talking about it on the air, and there are arguments made for why this is good. You have whole body specimens, you know, hundreds of organs and body parts. They're all meticulously dissected. They're plasticized. People go through them. They pay an admission fee. Is that a proper use of the human body? I know we can donate our body for science, you know, so those upcoming doctors have something to dissect and perhaps work on and learn from. Or is this an inappropriate use of the human body? Like you said, I wouldn't have a plasticized body sitting next to me while I'm watching the news at night, right, or the football game on Sunday. Is it different being set up in a display like this? What were your thoughts on Body Worlds in that exhibit?
Well, I would say that to the extent that it's being used for genuinely educational purposes, and that the bodies are not being posed in any fashion that would be, you know, irreverent or maybe overtly, unreasonably sexualized, right, et cetera, I think it can serve that valuable educational function. I remember I was a student many, many moons ago at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and I took an anatomy and physiology course. And I remember walking in one day to the class, and there was the body of a maybe 78 or 80-year-old woman lying there, the chest cut open, various organs exposed. And, you know, we as students, we had the chance to look at what the inside of the human body looked like. And that was very valuable. There were a number of people, other students with me, who are going to go on and become physicians and medical professionals. So that elderly woman who donated her body, she, I think, was providing a helpful service to all of us. But even as I say that, Drew, at the end of the day, there's another piece here that's important, which is, well, what about final disposition? When you do donate your body to science, it shouldn't remain in a kind of limbo, ongoing, you know, for just being neglected somewhere. At the end of the day, it should be returned to the family for proper burial. And a lot of times, if you donate to a university or a research facility, there'll be a kind of contract that you fill out. And in that contract, you can specify that you would like the body returned, perhaps as cremains, you know, in an urn, so that it can be taken, placed into the family mausoleum, columbarium, or into the, you know, given a proper burial. And then a Mass can be said, etc. So at the end of the day, it is important to have a location, a specific location where an individual will be interred in consecrated ground. And if we do that, we really are, you know, taking reasonable steps to show respect for the remains of the dead.
Amen to that. My guest today is Father Tad Pacholczak, taking a look at, well, Christian burial, proper respect for the dead, the body. Really the teaching on the body and the soul. And I'll tell you what, if you've got a question, you want to join us, I only have Father Tad, maybe another 10 minutes, feel free to dial in. I'll grab your calls on the other side of this short break. The number to get in, 888-914-9149. You can call right now. That is 888-914-9149. We'll also talk a little bit about some of these new green ways of disposing the human body and whether or not there are moral or ethical concerns regarding that. So our conversation will continue. Stay with us.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Julia, who's listening in Kentucky, for donating her Ford. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car.
Weigh in now, 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. If you are just tuning in, my guest today, Father Tad Pacholczak, and we're taking a look at the church's teaching on Christian burial and how the body should be treated after it passes away. And I was suggesting to Maggie, as we were just talking about the catacombs, she's going to Italy, and was mentioning another place where the, I guess the Capuchin friars have a place that really displays all these bones. Father saw it, Nick Sentovich, he's seen it as well. Maggie, apparently your mom was listening. And some of our colleagues as well.
They're always listening.
They called me out, huh?
My mom texted me. She said, "Walls of skulls on your honeymoon." And Eliu texted me and said, "Not a very romantic place, Drew. Come on." And he said, "Il Duomo, the Colosseum, Piazza Navona."
That's so true. And I've given you those, right? The Spanish Steps, Piazza Navona. There's so much to see in Italy. You're gonna love it. I still think some of those things are cool. That church dedicated to the souls.
Oh, the purgatorial souls.
I mean, all those different things are just cool. I don't know. I'm a dude. Who knows? I've been married a long time. So maybe not. Maybe your mom and Elio is right. Maybe not the most romantic place for the honeymoon. Go to Sorrento, right? Have some limoncello. All right. Hey, Father, let's pick it back up because we have a few minutes here. But I want to just break down some of the other things we talked about here as well. The other green way, the ways that the church is, hey, we got to be careful about disposing of bodies. Do you want to explain what those two are very quickly? The environmentally friendly burial practices that the church is saying, yeah, they may cross a line on the, you know, preserving the integrity of the body.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of them is called alkaline hydrolysis. And basically this involves taking the body, putting it into like a pressurized and heated metal chamber and adding some chemicals, potassium hydroxide or sodium hydroxide. And it sort of breaks down the proteins, the DNA, the fats, you know, and the body undergoes a fast decomposition and is really fast. I mean, if you have the right machine set up the right way, you can decompose the body in about 4 hours time. And it ends up producing a bunch of liquid. And a lot of that is fed into the sewer system. But there are bones that are left over at the end, and those bones are turned into ashes so that you can give the ashes back to the family in an urn, similar to when you do cremation. So that's one technique, alkaline hydrolysis. The other one is called human composting, and it's slightly different. Basically, the body, again, goes into a metal bin or container, and you put in like wood chips and straw and alfalfa, and you also heat the body and add oxygen and sort of accelerate a natural breakdown that occurs with the help of bacteria. And you end up basically with a bunch of soil at the end. So those are the two processes. And as you're pointing out, the church is careful here and is hesitant to say, I'll go ahead with this because the church sees some more potential for failing to show respect for the remains of the dead. When you use these things, especially the one where you're sort of pouring effluent into the sewer system, although, you know, some people here, Drew, could say, well, it's very similar to cremation, where you're taking people's remains and you're exactly. sending them up a chimney into the atmosphere, you know. Yeah, so it's, there's real issues here that we do need to make sure we're being reverent as best we can, and
I totally agree.
Especially with what remains, to have a place to pray for the individual.
Well, it comes down to the dignity of the human person. And what you see now, people are putting the environment over that at times. I think that's really the slippery slope that, you know, we're seeing the culture push a lot of people to.
Exactly. And I mean, as you said, our belief in the resurrection of the body, that's something we're really always trying to almost showcase. Yeah. You know, we really do believe this. This is so important on the last day that we will rise. So we can't, you know, denigrate the body or do anything that's going to look like we're sort of attacking or minimizing it.
Sure.
And some of these new technologies do have that potential for sending the wrong message.
All right, let's do this. Let me first go to Carol, and I got some other calls for you here. And Karen in Central Texas, stand by. I want to get you on the air. But Carol, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is a really interesting subject. But my situation is now had to bury my mother, my sister, and now I have my brother's ashes. And before I came back to church, and I've been back about 8 years now, long story short, I didn't know what to do with my sister's ashes. I was so despondent, so hurt. I didn't have the money to bury her because it is so expensive, as you guys well know. And I feel bad now because I actually went to the cemetery where my mother and father is, and I actually dug a hole and put her ashes, poured them into the ground with them, and then found out later that was a big no-no with what we were supposed to do. And then so now I still have my brothers, and then I have a couple pets and things like that. So I really need to know what's right and what's wrong, and then how do I get forgiven for that? And then, you know, it's financially difficult, really a challenge to do because now all my family members are gone, and I have to pay for it.
Yeah, no, gotcha. So. Carol, thank you very much. Father, I'll let you pick it up.
Yeah, Carol, great questions. And I think your situation, a lot of families have found themselves in similar situations. What's key is to look for an opportunity to connect with the funeral home and with those who, you know, are overseeing the cemetery, and to arrange for interment. And if you have any urns of family members, pets are a different thing. You know, those should not be. They could be buried anywhere. But the human beings' remains definitely need to be in the family plot. And a lot of times there's more space than you would realize. In other words, if you already have a family plot, you won't have to buy a new one. You can oftentimes arrange to put the urn in the ground and have it done officially with the proper depth of burial and so on. And you just have to really connect with the people who are running the facility, and they will help you with those steps.
Wow. All right. Well, you're not alone, Carol. I'm grateful for your call. I know how expensive traditional burial can be, too. That's why a lot of people do go to cremation, Father. I'm going to take a short break. Do you have a minute? There's a really important call I want to get on the other side. If you just have a few minutes. It's from Karen. She needs some advice in handling a miscarriage. So we'll pick her up on the other side. And we've got a lot to get into. Stay with me. Of course, if you missed any part of this conversation, you tuned in late, or maybe you want to listen to it again, or you want to share it with your family members or somebody you think could benefit from it, Maggie will have the show up in about an hour. You can go to relevantradio.com, and when she goes, when we go off the air about an hour after we sign off, and you can download it or download it wherever podcasts are found. Of course, you're always welcome here too. 888-914-9149. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be right back.